Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Prisoners of Geography by Tim Marshall is a widely read guide to how physical landscapes shape political choices, national security concerns, and the limits of power. Rather than treating geopolitics as an abstract contest of ideology, Marshall centers the practical realities of mountains, rivers, deserts, coastlines, and climate. The book uses a map-driven approach to explain why certain regions become flashpoints, why borders harden in some places and blur in others, and why leaders repeatedly face similar strategic constraints across generations. It is written for general readers, but it engages with serious themes such as energy routes, access to warm water ports, natural defensive barriers, and the strategic value of choke points. Across 10 key regions, Marshall highlights how geography can encourage expansion, impose caution, or tempt miscalculation. The result is an accessible framework for interpreting headlines with more context and fewer assumptions about simple good and bad actors. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, geography as the permanent constraint on political ambition. A central idea of the book is that geography is not destiny, but it is a powerful set of constraints that leaders ignore at their peril. Marshall explains how terrain and location influence what states can realistically achieve, regardless of ideology or technological progress. Natural barriers like mountain ranges can shield a country, while open plains can invite invasion and create a chronic security mindset. Access to the sea, the presence of navigable rivers, and the availability of arable land can accelerate trade and state formation, while deserts, jungles, and harsh climates can slow development and complicate governance. The book encourages readers to see policy debates through a physical lens. Where are the defensible borders? Where are the vulnerable approaches? And where are the resource bottlenecks? This perspective also clarifies why some alliances look logical on paper, but prove difficult in practice, and why certain conflicts recur even when leaders change. The overall lesson is that maps reveal enduring incentives and fears that shape national strategy over decades. Secondly, Russia and the search for strategic depth and warm water access. Marshall uses Russia to illustrate how a state's geography can drive persistent strategic behavior. Much of Russia sits on broad, exposed plains with limited natural defensive boundaries, a condition that historically amplified fears of invasion and encouraged the pursuit of buffer zones. The book connects this insecurity to long-term interest in controlling or influencing neighboring territories that provide depth between Russia's core and potential adversaries. Another recurring theme is maritime access. Icebound ports and distance from major sea lanes make reliable warm water outlets strategically valuable, shaping attention toward regions that offer better naval and commercial reach. Marshall also highlights how long borders create logistical and military challenges, requiring difficult decisions about where to concentrate defenses. Readers gain a clearer sense of why Russia's leadership often frames security in territorial and geographic terms, and why perceptions of encirclement resonate domestically. The discussion does not reduce events to a single cause, but it offers a practical map-based context for understanding Russia's priorities, its sensitivity to shifts near its Western approaches, and its emphasis on maintaining influence in surrounding spaces. Thirdly, China's geography, internal cohesion, and outward pressure points. The book examines China as a case where geography shapes both internal governance and external strategy. Marshall discusses how China's population and economic heartland are concentrated in more hospitable eastern and southern regions, while vast western areas are sparsely populated, rugged, or arid. This imbalance creates incentives for strong central control to maintain cohesion across very different regions. Natural barriers such as mountains and deserts offer some protection, yet the country also faces significant maritime exposure along its coast and dependence on sea-based trade routes for energy and goods. Marshall points to choke points and adjacent seas as recurring sources of tension because they affect supply security and power projection. The importance of surrounding regions and borderlands also appears as China seeks stable peripheries and reliable trade corridors. By focusing on where people live, how goods move, and what routes can be threatened, the map-based approach helps readers understand why China invests heavily in infrastructure, why it emphasizes territorial integrity, and why it is attentive to nearby waters and neighboring states. The takeaway is a grounded view of ambitions shaped by geography, logistics, and vulnerability. Fourthly, the Middle East, North Africa, and the politics of scarcity and choke points. Marshall's treatment of the Middle East and North Africa emphasizes how harsh environments and critical transit routes interact with politics. Scarcity of water, limited arable land in many areas, and extreme climates can intensify competition and raise the stakes of state capacity. At the same time, the region's global significance is amplified by energy reserves and the maritime corridors that connect producers to consumers. The book highlights how narrow sea passages and coastal bottlenecks can become strategic pressure points, shaping foreign involvement and regional rivalries. Borders drawn across deserts and mixed communities add complexity, but the geographic frame helps explain why controlling certain terrain, river systems, and coastline segments matters so much. Marshall also links the distribution of population centers to political stability, since many communities cluster around rivers, coasts, and a limited number of fertile zones. This concentration can make states vulnerable to disruption when those lifelines are contested. The broader message is that understanding the region requires attention to physical realities that influence economic options, security dilemmas, and the persistence of external interest in routes and resources. Lastly, Europe, the United States, and the advantages of navigable space. The book contrasts regions where geography provides connective advantages with those where it imposes barriers. In parts of Europe, proximity among many states, varied terrain, and access to seas have historically encouraged both trade and conflict, producing a complex security architecture and a strong incentive for cooperative frameworks. Marshall uses the European map to show why buffer zones, river valleys, and plains have mattered in repeated wars and in modern alliance planning. The United States is presented as a case where geography offers significant structural benefits: large stretches of fertile land, extensive internal waterways, and relative insulation by oceans. These features can support continental-scale integration, efficient movement of goods, and a security posture less dominated by immediate border threats. Marshall also notes that such advantages do not eliminate challenges, but they shape what is feasible in foreign policy and economic development. Together, these examples demonstrate how navigable rivers, coastal access, and defensible borders can expand a country's strategic options. The reader is left with a clearer sense of why some powers can project influence more easily, while others are preoccupied with nearby vulnerabilities. In conclusion, this book suits readers who follow international news, students beginning political geography or international relations, and professionals who want a fast, practical refresher on why places matter. It is also valuable for travelers and history enthusiasts who enjoy linking culture and conflict to terrain, trade routes, and border logic. The main benefit is a durable mental model. Instead of treating crises as random or purely ideological, you learn to ask concrete questions about access, distance, barriers, resources, and choke points. That habit can improve how you interpret policy debates, predict incentives, and understand why leaders repeatedly prioritize certain regions. Compared with many geopolitics titles that lean heavily on theory or current events, Marshall's map-centered method is straightforward and memorable, making complex issues easier to retain and discuss. It is worth buying because it offers broad coverage across major regions without requiring specialist background, yet it still respects the seriousness of strategic constraints. While no single framework explains everything, this one reliably adds context that many similar books leave implicit, helping readers see patterns that endure beyond any single headline cycle. If you would like to support Tin Marshall, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.